In this video, we're going to demonstrate how you can build a complete Windows Phone 7 application using Expression Blend 4 and Visual Studio 2010. We'll discuss the basics of assembling phone apps with a special nod to how Expression Blend can help us design our application's user experience through a combination of Blend's amazing tooling and its innovative design time data features. Now, back when Windows Phone 7 tooling was first announced, Scott Guthrie wrote a blog post showing us all how to build a basic Twitter viewer application for the phone. That application will be the basis of our work here, but we're going to jazz it up a little bit using the rich tooling support offered in Expression Blend. We're going to start off by creating a new project, so I'll choose File, New Project. We'll call it Twitter Browser 2, and we'll just leave the basic Windows Phone application as the type of app we're creating. Now, for those that are new to Expression Blend, it's a really neat environment to work in, but it may take a little bit of getting used to. I would refer you to the .toolbox website to get some tutorials on how to work through Blend, but I'll try to be as clear as I can as I go through building this thing today. Start off with the typical user experience. We'll rename a couple things up here. We'll call this the sample applications, and we'll rename the page name to Twitter Browser. Well, Twitter Browser doesn't fit. How about Twitter Viewer? That'll work. Okay. Now I'm going to go down here to this content panel. This is a grid. What I'm going to do is add a couple of new items in there. Now you can add item controls using the different options in the toolbox, and that's fine. I personally prefer to work here inside the Assets tab because it has a nice search feature and I can find exactly the items I want. So here's my text box. We'll go drag one of those in here. I also want a button. We'll drag a button in there. It's already named for me, but I want to rename these things just for my own use since we're going to access them programmatically in a little while. We'll call this Screen Name Text Box, and we'll call this one the Go button. Okay, and the Go button, I want to change its content to say Go. And then I'm going to select both of them inside this Objects and Timeline view, and I'm going to choose Group Into Stack Panel. The Group Into feature is really nice because it gives you the opportunity to add layout for controls that you select. In my case, that worked out really well. The only problem is they're backwards in the way I want them to show up. So I'm going to grab Screen Name Text Box, and I'm going to move it up. Oops. And I want to put it right here in between at the top of the Stack Panel list. Now, I'll go through and change the text in there. It says text box, I don't want that. I'll just change that by deleting it, and let's resize it so that it fills up the better part of the screen there. Alright, now how does that look? That looks pretty good for right now. Well, we're good to go. Alright, that's the first part of the user experience. Now what I want is to have a list box here in the middle so that we can display the tweets. The way the app will work is you'll type in a screen name up here, you'll press the Go button, and then you'll get your list of tweets to show up here. So let's go over here and add a list box. I found the list box in my list. I'm going to drag it down here into the content panel, and we're going to resize it and move it around a little bit so it fits exactly where we want it to fit. We'll grab it here and move it this way. And now we have a nice list box there. Okay, so we have our list box set up. We need to rename it. We'll call it Tweets List Box. And we should be good to go. Now, I have to add the interactivity part. So when the user types in a name up here and presses Go, now normally with Visual Studio or something like that, when you double click on a button or something, it'll give you a way to enter your event handlers. Not so with Blend, it works a little bit different way. To streamline the way this works, what I'm going to do is go ahead and build here to make sure everything's alright. Then I'm going to go over to the Projects tab and I'm going to choose to open the project with Visual Studio by right-clicking on the project and choose Edit in Visual Studio. So I'm going to add my interactivity from the Visual Studio side. We'll go in here to the main page. And I have mine set up to just show me the XAML because I typically work from Blend to do all my designer work. Now, in Blend, I can create event handlers for objects. The way that works is up here in the upper right-hand corner of the Properties tab, there's a switch between Properties view and Events view. If I go into the Events view, I can see a list of all the events that this button supports. If I double-click inside the click area, it creates that event handler for me. And if I switch back over to Visual Studio, you'll see, hey, this document has been changed. So we reload it, and there's my event handler right there. Now what I'm going to do is use the networking stack inside Silverlight that runs on the phone to go off and grab me the data that I need based on the screen name that was entered into the text box. We'll start by assembling the URI that we need to feed into our web client class. So we'll start with URI string is equal to. Now, Twitter's API has different options for how you get the data back. I believe there's an RSS option, an XML option, and a JSON option. So I'm going to use XML in this case to show how we can use link to XML to do some querying on top of this. We'll type in the URI here, which is http://api.twitter.com/statuses/user/timeline.xml, the XML format. And then the parameter we pass in is screen_name=, and then we can append to the end of that textbox.text. Our text box is called screen name textbox.text. Okay. Now, with the URI string in place, we can generate an actual URI. Now we'll go in and create our actual URI. We'll pass in the URI string, as well as identify that this is a URI that is absolute, as opposed to relative. With the URI built, now we can use the Web Client class to go fetch the data for. So we'll create an instance of Web Client, and we'll assign to Web Client. We'll register for the download string completed. Since we're dealing with simple XML, that's easy enough to do it that way. We'll come back to this guy here in a minute. And now all we have to do is type client.downloadStringAsync and pass in the URI that we created before. Okay, at this point the download will have completed and we can start doing some work against it. And what we want to do is process this using link to XML. So that's going to require us to add another reference to our project. So we'll go up to References, click Add Reference. Scroll down in the list here till we find system.xml.link. I love this new Add Reference dialog, by the way. So that's been added. We'll close up here and we'll go add a using statement to system.xml.link. Okay. Now we've got our data back. We need to load it up into an X element. So we'll do X element tweets equals X element dot parse, and we'll choose E dot result. That result is the big piece of string that comes back. Now, I guess what we should do before we do that is do a little bit of error checking. I know this is kind of a coding sample, but we'll go ahead and check for errors. If e.error is not equal to null, then let's just show a message box. Now, in your application, I'm sure you do a lot more fancy stuff than that, but for us, this is going to be just fine. The other thing we need to do is return from here so we don't accidentally continue on trying to work with data that doesn't exist. All right, at this point we have our tweets ready to go, and what we want to do is go pull out only the ones we need, and we're going to use a projection to get them into a collection of classes that we can further manipulate later on down the line. And so we'll do it this way. We'll say this.dataContext. So we're going to assign this collection to the data context for our page from tweet in tweets. And then we're going to only grab the descendant nodes that are called status. Now, if you look at the XML, you can see where this comes from. We want to select a new Twitter item. Now, we haven't defined this Twitter item class yet, but we will here in just a second. That looks to be right there. I'm going to use the little helper that comes with Visual Studio to generate for me. Now, normally you might want to be tempted to pick Generate Class. I've stopped using that. I've started using Generate New Type, mostly because it gives you the option to create a public class rather than a private class. And I've learned that data binding requires this to be public, or bad things happen. So we'll leave this as a public class called Twitter Item. We'll see that it shows up over here in our project. So that's good to go. Now we have a couple of properties that we want to take off of there. Message being one of them. And we're going to get that from the individual tweet has a sub-element called text. And you want to make sure you choose value or you end up getting the element node, and that's not what you want. The other is a date called created at. And in this case, there's an interesting format that the Twitter date comes back in. So we're going to have to use the date time parse exact to be able to specify a format that we want the parsing to occur over. So I'll show you what that looks like here. First, we want to get the data from an element called created at, remember, dot value. And then we want to supply a string for a format, and I'll just type it here. So that's actually the format that the data comes back in. And then we don't have a provider that we're going to supply for this query, so that's going to be good enough there. Now notice that message and created at both don't exist. Well, we just created the Twitter class. So I'm going to use control period to pop up this menu, and we'll choose generate property stub for both of them. Now if we go in and look at the class that we've created in the properties, you'll see that it automatically created a string property and a date time property, just like we would expect. So we'll save that and let that go. At this point, we've gotten all the data that we need back to fill up that list box. Let's test it out and see what happens. So we're going to set a couple breakpoints to make sure everything's working like we expect. We'll stop at the beginning of the click, and we'll stop at the beginning of the download string complete, just so we catch it all. And we hit F5, it loads up the emulator. One important thing to note, the emulator is actually that. It's not a simulator. It's a virtual machine instance of the Windows Phone 7 operating system. So you're actually running against a real version of the Phone OS, not a simulated version. All right, we'll go in here and we'll type a name. Now, another tip for those of you building phone applications, you absolutely could type in using the keyboard here. What I like to do is press the page up key, which turns it over to my keyboard, so I can actually type on my keyboard and get a lot more speed at typing things in. We'll press go. That takes us into our debugging session, and we'll F10 through here, make sure that looks right. Let's actually bring up the URI string and look at it in the visualizer. We'll even go as far as to grab hold of it and bring it up in there we go, got a lot of data back, looks good. Go through and create our client, register for the download completed event, and fire away. That comes back in here. Hopefully we have no error. That worked out good. We parse the elements and we set the data context. Now I get no data showing up. So I've set the data context, but I didn't go back and register the list box to be listening to the data context to get its data. So let's go do that now. Now that we know everything is working from a data management standpoint, we'll stop the debugger and let's go in and update the UX. So we'll go into the main page XAML. We'll just do it right here from within the XAML. We're going to do some fancier stuff in a few minutes. And we're going to set the items source property to just binding, and that's it. Now let me explain what this does. We set the data context in the code to this collection that comes back from our query. In order to utilize that, we'll go back over to our UX. We've specified that the item source for the list box should be bound to some aspect of the data context. Normally you'd type a path. which would equate to some property on your data context. In this case, we're binding directly to the data context, so we don't supply any additional variables. We'll press Control F5 to run it and see what we get. We type in a name. Actually, let's pick on somebody else. I click Go. And there's our data back. Now notice it all says Twitter item. Well, that's because we haven't specified what the list box should do with the data it gets. But at least we're now getting data in there. In order for us to make this look nicer, we're going to have to use a neat feature of Expression Blend that allows us to create custom data templates and style them appropriately. So let's switch over to Expression Blend. Let the project catch up since we've made some changes in Visual Studio. And now we can go in and start doing some styling work. Okay, before I do this though, we're gonna do something that I really enjoy within Blend called Design Time Data. Now I could absolutely sit here. We'll start by using one of my favorite features of Expression Blend, the Design Time Data. Up here in the corner, upper right hand corner, there's a tab that says Data. I want to go in and choose this option here that's called Create Sample Data. We'll choose the first option, New Sample Data. This will allow us the most flexibility to create the kind of code that we want. In a future video, I'll show you how to use some of the other features as we get into working with the MVVM pattern in Windows Phone, and that'll be a lot of fun. We can call it whatever we like to call it, define it either in the project or this specific document. The important thing here is this checkbox, Enable Sample Data when application is running. We're going to uncheck that and choose OK. Now what we get by default is a sample data source that has a collection assigned to it with two properties. Well, that's perfect for our needs because our Twitter item class actually only has two properties. The first property, we'll rename it to message, and the second property we'll rename to created at. Now the order of these things doesn't matter. What matters is the data type. Message is already of type string. It's in the lorem ipsum format. There's a number of different string formats that we're going to look at. For us, we'll just change the settings here a little bit. We'll make the maximum word count equal to 24, and we'll make the maximum word length equal to 5. So that gives us a nice variation in hopefully simulating how people would be tweeting. Created at is not a Boolean. We want to change that to a string so that we can select the date formatting type. Now by doing this, we've created this sample data that's supposed to mirror or mimic what our real data would look like. There's one other option here on the collection that says Edit Sample Value. So I'm going to click that, and you can see what this sample data is going to look like. You can see the lorem ipsum text in message, and you can see the date here under Created At. I'm going to change the number of records here from 10 to 25 just to simulate some more data. And give us a scrolling area inside our application. Press OK. Now is where the magic happens. I'm going to grab this collection. Remember, I have my data context set in the code to a collection of objects. I'm now going to use this design time data and drop this over on top of the phone application page as well to set the design time data context. Notice right away the data fills in over my list box the same way that it did when the actual application was run. Now I have some real data to work with when I go in and do my styling. To create that custom data template, all I have to do is select my tweet list box from the list here, right click on it, and choose Edit Additional Templates. Now under Edit Additional Templates, the magic one I'm looking for is this one called Generated Items, or Item Template. That's the one that's applied for each item inside the list box. So under Edit Generated Items, I'll pick Create Empty, and we can call it Twitter Display Template. Okay? I can define it at the application scope right here in this document, or I could actually go and create a resource dictionary to store it in. I'm going to, for simplicity's sake, I'll just store it in this document. Press OK. And now the screen changes a little bit. All my data goes away, and it looks like something went wrong. Not so. Right here in the Objects and Timelines window, you can see that I'm actually now editing this display template, which right now only has a grid in it. I can use this up arrow to navigate back to the page, or you see that there's this crumb trail that's appeared at the top that shows I'm inside this grid inside the list box for the item template. So we're going to work with that. We're going to take this grid here and we're going to convert it. You know how big fan I am of the stack panel. We're going to convert that to a stack panel. Go back to our assets tab and we're going to add two text blocks. And notice how the text blocks now show up here and they say text block. Well, that's great that they say text block, but that doesn't really help me. The first one, this is going to be our tweet date time. And the second one is going to be our tweet message. For tweet date time, I'm going to go back over to the properties tab and look at all of its properties. Now remember, we have, and at this point in time, we're inside a single list box item that has been given one of those tweet item classes to work with. And what I want to show up here is the date that created at date timestamp. So rather than the text say text block, I'm going to use this little white button over here that's labeled advanced options. I'm going to click on it to bring up a menu that allows me to choose data binding. When I pick data binding, the blend environment is smart enough to know that I'm working with one of these Twitter item objects and give me the two properties that I can bind to. So I'm going to bind to the created at property. Notice how this now changes to be a date. I'll select the second text block and I'll do the same thing. I'm going to, under tweet message, I'm going to change that to be data bound to the message. And notice how it wraps nicely for me. All I have to do now is some styling. So let's select the stack panel. We'll use the margins here to give us a little bit of more room on each side. Okay, so we'll give us a little bit of space there, a little bit of space here. Bring it in just a little bit. Or I can double click on it and just type in a number. That seems to look pretty nice. I want to create some spacing in between the items. So I'm going to add a bottom margin, just kind of drop that down a little bit. And then let's go into that tweet date time and change its font around a little bit. So if I go down to the text area, notice it's 15 point. Let's change that to 22 point. Now I got a nice big text there. I can even go to the message itself and apply a color resource to the foreground of the text, and we'll assign it to we can assign the phone accent color to make it pop up in the color that the user selected, or maybe the inactive color to dim it out a little bit, or the contrasting background color so it shows up in different ways. We'll just leave it at foreground color for now. Those are just some options you have. You can use the regular picker, or you can use the resources that come with the phone style. Let's save this. And I'll run it right here from Blend. We'll make sure everything's still working. And notice when it pops up now, I have nothing here. The data just works at design time because I unchecked that checkbox. Let's type in Scott Goo again and press Go. And there you go. There's the date and time. Now there's other techniques we can use to format this and do different things. I'll save that for a future video. But right now our data looks pretty good the way it is. Okay, so the last thing I want to do now is go add some information about the person whose Twitter feed we're looking at. Right now all we see is their tweets, but we still don't know who the Scott Goo character is. We want to see maybe his picture and at least show his name. So let's go into our code and work on that. So I need to get out of the item editor. I'll click this tweets list box to go back out to the outside. And I want to put something in here between the stack panel and this tweets list box. Let's put in, yep, you guessed it, another stack panel. I'm going to drop a stack panel right in there. And this one, in fact, let's do this. Let's take all of three of these things and or let's just take this one content panel that's there and let's just change it to a stack panel. See what kind of craziness that gives us. All right, so now I have the stack panel at the top, I have a stack panel in the middle, and I have the tweets list box at the bottom. Notice that the tweets list box is a little big. We'll get back to that in a second. This stack panel here is what I want to add items to. We'll go up to our assets tab. I want to add an image. This image is what we're going to use to display their picture. And I also want to have another text block that I want to use to display their name. And I want to change the orientation on this stack panel from vertical to horizontal. And I want to set some default properties here. So this image, I want to set it to 96 by 96. So I get a nice square. This stack panel, I'm going to extend it like I did the other one all the way across. And then this text block, I'm going to change its vertical alignment to be centered, and I want to change its font size up to 22 points. Yeah, maybe a little bit bigger. Let's make it 24 points. We also want to get rid of this text that says text block because we don't want anything to show up when we're first working on it. Now, I could use the same techniques to do design time editing and all of that. Right now, what I'm going to do is just add a little bit of a margin to the left-hand side so my picture looks nice. I'm going to add a little margin around the picture. We'll do 5 pixels each way. And now I need to go write some code to actually fill this thing in. So I'm going to save this and switch back over to Visual Studio where I do all of my coding. The project's been changed, so it needs to be reloaded. That's okay with me. We'll go into mainpage.xaml and we want to view the code. All right, at this point in my execution, I have download string completed, has gone and set the data context to fill in all my list box items. Now what I want to do is go grab other information in the resulting feed that gives me data about the user that actually posted. So I need to go get reference to those things. So let's start by going and get the element that maps to the user. And that one is actually called inside each of the status elements is where it's returned. I want to go get an element called user. Okay. Now, the other two items that I have is the username, which is an element under the user called name. And I also want to save off the location of the image that's displayed for each user, their buddy icon or their Twitter icon. So we'll call that the image URL, and that's actually stored at a sub element called profile image URL. Remember to use the dot value on there so you get the result that you expect. Now I'm going to press F6 to go recompile the IntelliSense for me. Now I want to make sure that I can assign these things correctly. The text block, which I don't believe I named, so let's switch back over to Blend real quick and make sure we go name them. Yep, I left them the same. So let's rename image to be user image, and this one we'll call this one user name. Okay. Switch back over here and do F6 again. Ah, it's been changed, you bet. Let's fix it up. Now I should be able to say username after I recompile the IntelliSense. I should be able to say username dot text is equal to username local variable. The image is different. The image, I actually have to have a bitmap image that I set it to. So I need to create one of those bitmap images. We'll call it just image is equal to new bitmap image. Oops. Bitmap image isn't currently in our using list, so we'll go add a reference to the System Windows Media Imaging. And we're going to pass in a URI, new URI, to image URL. And that, of course, is a URI kind absolute. And from there, I can assign user image.source equal to this image. All right. Let's give it a whirl and see how things work. Press F5. Up pops the emulator. We'll type in Scott Goo and click Go. There's the name, Scott Guthrie. It shows up with his Twitter icon, and all of his tweets are nicely aligned down here in the list box. So what we showed here was the ability for you to use a combination of Expression Blend and Visual Studio to create some compelling applications for Windows Phone 7. I hope you enjoyed this video tutorial. If you have any questions, please ask them via the contact information on my blog at chriskoenig.net, and we'll catch you next time.